About 1,800,000 deaths occur every year in the United States. Most of them resulted from willful violation of the laws of life and health. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about knowing and doing. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Preparation for New Year's on Times Square in New York is a revealing process. The plate glass windows are boarded over. Police reinforcements are strategically placed because intoxicated people and overcrowded conditions make the work of the pickpocket quite successful. Hotels and bars are filled with pleasure-bent humanity. Middle-aged men with receding hairlines and women far too old for such nonsense enter into the spirit of the occasion with balloons, horns, noisemakers, and crazy hats and everything else. Inhibitions removed, blood fevered with alcohol, this is the way the majority met the New Year in Times Square. And yet, there's an unchangeable law. Whatever goes up must come down, and how hard the bottom is the next morning. That miserable hangover, head like a balloon, and far too often unable to do anything but stay in bed. What fools we mortals be. Today I wish to assure you that this is not God's idea of happiness, for His plan never leaves a dirty brown taste in your mouth. His plan does not leave you sick and miserable the next morning. Neither does His plan leave you with a headache. And yet He does have a plan for you. I want you to remember that the Bible is an integral part of that plan. Listen to this in 1 John 1:4. These things I write unto you that your joy may be full. Now within its pages you'll find a reality of living, for there's found a way of life that brings happiness. No wonder Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. John 13:17. Now friends, never forget this vital truth. True happiness comes from right doing. The happy, contented individual is the one who has learned these principles of right doing and is practicing them in his life. Now here is revealed one of the basic reasons why Jesus came. He wants you to find that life. He came to show it to you, and that you might have it more abundantly, as he said in John 10, verse 10. From the very beginning of his creation, God instituted certain basic fundamental regulations to protect man's happiness. The same is true today. The happiest individual today is not the lawbreaker, but the law-abiding citizen. Freedom comes with obedience, and it's the breaking of the law that leads to incarceration and bondage. The happy child is the child who has been taught obedience. Among such delinquency has found no fertile ground in which to develop. In fact, happiness is not known among those who are delinquent. They have a miserable and depressed attitude toward life. In fact, many times, life itself depends on how well the child learned obedience. Recently, I heard the story of a little fellow who wandered from the parked car into the busy highway as his parents were unloading it for a picnic. And the father saw him just as cars were bearing down from opposite directions. He spoke just two words, "Charlie, stop!" And little Charlie literally froze in the middle of that road as cars passed on both sides. He did not turn and say, "Why, Daddy?" His obedience was immediate, and his life was saved. Now I repeat the words of Jesus, "I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He made us and therefore knows just how to give us the very best conditions for the more abundant life. We need, of course, some sort of a yardstick to measure ourselves by. Let us call it a standard of right doing or law or whatever you want to call it. And here, God has not failed us. He has given us a standard of righteousness. And this is it in Psalms 119:172, "For all thy commandments are righteousness." Here is our yardstick of that which is wrong and that which is right. In other words, to use a simple illustration, it is a mirror in which you can look and see wherein you need cleansing. Scripture uses this thought in James 1:23, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." All right? Now let's look at this. Have you looked into that perfect law, to use the words of James?
It stands before you as God's mirror. Don't be just a hearer or looker, but an obedient doer. For the promise is that you shall be blessed in your doing. Now, this is one of the basic ways God has for bringing real happiness. One of the unchangeable laws of the universe is that disobedience has brought misery, pain, and death. God's particular name for this disobedience is sin. It's defined by Him in the Bible as transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. Therefore, this mirror, or this law, as you look into it, will reveal the blemishes, the sin in your own character, and thereby reveal just where the cleansing gospel needs to be applied. Sin brings a terrible end. The wages of sin is death. In other words, humanity is in death row. But God, in His love, made provision whereby we need not stay there. For our text continues, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He says, "I paid the penalty that you might leave death row, and all you must do is accept it." In just a few words, friends, this is how you pass from death to life. With what meaning we understand now, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace." Romans 6:14. Saved from death row by the grace of Christ. What a gift. No longer condemned. My sins are now washed away. My conscience is now free. What relief, what freedom from guilt, what love. Now, the meaning of Christ's words are sharp and clear. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." But wait, I have a very important question to ask you now. Does the saving grace of Christ give you license to break His law from now on? Have you ever heard it said that once a person has been saved by grace, he no longer needs to keep the law? Listen, I've heard that many times. God knew such would be taught in this time, and so He inspired the writer of Romans to add that next verse 15. Listen, it says, "What then? Shall we sin," or transgress or break the law? "Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid." Now, friends, listen. The grace of Christ takes a law-breaking and lost sinner and makes him into a law-keeping, obedient child of God. And thus it is that law and grace meet at the cross. Oh, what misery, sorrow, and woe we're reaping today because man has turned his back on God's law and thus turned away from the more abundant way of life. Here is the root of our ills, friends. In the words of Miss Charlotte Nolan, the headmistress of Foxcroft, she said, quote, "Morals have dropped at least 75% from during the years that she worked for girls." Now, more than half her girls today come from broken homes. In her characteristic way, she says, quote, "It might be nice for a change to go back to the old idea of bringing children up, not down," end quote. So the only real guide to 20th century living is God's guide. It works in this modern age equally as well as in any other age. Let's look at these hearts of ours for a moment, friends. I may think, well, I'm not such a bad fellow after all. I'm just as good as any of my neighbors. Yeah, I could go on patting myself on the back for a long time. It feels good. But I'm brought up with a start when I realize that God says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 79. Could it be that I do not know my own heart? Could it be that I'm deceived? Yes, and the worst kind of deceit is self-deceit. And the moment I realize this, and humbly pray with David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me," that is the key, a right spirit. Then it is that I really pass from death unto life. You know, once a wealthy and well-educated young man came to Jesus with a question, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Then this young ruler asked, "Which?" And the master proceeded to quote from the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt do no murder, nor steal, nor bear false witness, honor your parents," and so forth. And immediately came the rejoinder, "I've done all these things. What lack I yet?" Oh, that young man, with all of his wealth and all of his religion, did not know his own heart. The master did not call him a liar. No, no, his next statement, he put his finger right on the sore weak spot in the young man's life. There was something he loved more than God. Jesus said, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, then come and follow me." That story is found in Matthew 19. And the young man went away sorrowfully, for he had great wealth. No, he did not know his own heart. He had lots of religion and outward form, but it was dead. Ask yourself, could it be that I don't know my own heart either? How deceptive it is. But never forget, there's one who does know that heart of yours. He knows just what it needs, and that's the Master. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. You may have never let him in before, but I can promise you that when you do, things begin to happen. Out goes the evil, in comes the good. Out goes the sin, in comes love. Out goes that temper, and in comes patience. Out goes hate, in comes compassion. Out goes suspicion, in comes warmth and happiness. Yes, friends, it's the very principles of God's law. Up to this time may be written on cold stone, but now it springs to life within your heart. All of this was promised long ago. God said, "This is the covenant that I will make after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds will I write them." Hebrews 10:16. See now how it is that he renews that right spirit within us. It is a new spirit. "Now I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." Then and only then will true happiness come into your life. With past sins forgiven, the conscience no longer is heavy. With him indwelling within you and writing there in your life the very principles of happiness and obedience, you can live a happy life every day. He's with you to help you over the rough spots as they come. But over and above that, he's made provision for the future, and you can face that with a new feeling within you. "Yes, I delight to do thy will. Thy law is in my heart." The greatest happiness in the world comes from doing the will of God. Friends, have these golden 10 words taken new meaning for you this day? Then permit me this suggestion. Turn to the 20th chapter of Exodus and read them again. And then remember the words of Christ. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." John 13, verse 17. Here is a successful guide to happy 20th century living. And may I add, it's the only road to real, lasting happiness, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Let nothing hold you back from following him all the way. You know, the appalling gap between knowing and doing constitutes one of the most condemning features of American life today. The shameful fact is that multitudes are deliberately choosing the soft, self-indulgent road, even though they have every reason to know that it leads to death. The reckless demand for excitement and sensual pleasure has padded the daily statistical columns of divorce and death and court convictions. But these facts fade into insignificance when we think of the fearful final account that all must give for neglecting truth and violating the conscience. The eternal law of God is going to be the yardstick of the great judgment. I wish you would write for our free information folder J entitled "Your Turn Is Next," because it tells you about the approaching court case in which you and I are involved. Our mailing address is Amazing Facts, Box 680, Frederick, Maryland, zip code 21701. That address again is Amazing Facts, Box 680, Frederick, Maryland, 21701. Ask for folder J when you write. If you'd like to have today's message in printed form, just ask for broadcast number 310. That address again, Amazing Facts, Box 680, Frederick, Maryland, 21701. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.